I want to share a story with you this morning to see if you can relate. I called a company the other day because I was desperately needing some information to get everything gathered up and ready for our taxes. I know it's that time of year, and here's a side note. You may not be real happy to pay taxes, but guess what? You ought to be. Now, you're saying, why in the world should I be happy to pay taxes? Well, it makes the highway out here a whole lot smoother than it would be without taxes. Makes a lot of things that we do a whole lot nicer than it would be without taxes. So anyway, let me just throw that in there to give you kind of a new insight on taxes. But I was calling this company to get some information I needed to get our taxes together. I dialed the number, and a voice as sweet as heaven answered and said, "Hello, and thank you for calling the ABC Company." And I stopped and I thought, oh, good. A sweet voice. It's been one of those days I need a sweet voice. You ever had one of those days you just need somebody with a pleasant voice on the other end of the line? Well, before I could respond, or before I could even blink my eyes, she went on to say, "For English, press 1. For somebody you really never even considered needing to talk to, press 2. For somebody that doesn't care a thing about you or anything about what you want, press 3. If you know your driver's license number and your social security number, and if you know your mother's neighbor's maiden name, press 4. If your social security nine digits, add up to over 60, press 6. Yes, I'm being a little facetious, but it seems like that sometimes, doesn't it? Well, about that time, I was ready to reach through the phone lines and lay hands on somebody. Of course, I was going to do that in Christian love. Maybe. But I couldn't figure out which button to push. I said, well, I'll just push a button and hopefully I'll get somebody. Well, you know what I got. I got put on hold and I got another list of automated choices. Now, folks, we're going to be talking about that today. You may say, how in the world are you going to be preaching about automated phone services? Well, I'm not exactly preaching on that, but I am going to be preaching on the fact that we as a society have lost human contact. We as a society have lost human contact. There used to be a time when every activity would spark a conversation. Some of you are way too young to remember this, but used to when you went to the gas station, there was a gas attendant there. And you got to talk to the gas attendant while he put gas in your car. Some of you have never seen a gas attendant, I know. But they used to be there. And you could talk to them and you could have this conversation with them and talk about all sorts of great things. And used to, you would go to the bank and you would take your deposit in or you try to get money. I say try to get money back from the teller. And you could get a conversation going with them. You could engage them in conversation. And it used to be that when you went to the store to buy a gift, you had a salesperson. You don't see those much anymore. I'm not going to name any stores, but anymore they have people that stock the shelves and that kind of stuff. But they don't have salespeople like we used to have. You used to go into the store and somebody would meet you and greet you at the front door, say, "Hi, how you doing today? What can I help you find?" Things have changed, haven't they? Now, you go to the gas pump, you get out, you slap the card in there, you pull the card out, you put the gas in there by yourself and for yourself, and you fill it up, you get your receipt, and you get back in your car, leave. Now you go to the ATM and make your deposit and get some cash out and you go on your way. Now you either buy your gifts online or even worse, you go to the store and use the self-checkout. Now folks, I'm going to give you a personal thing right here, okay? I ain't using the self-checkout. They don't give you a discount for using the self-checkout. I don't work for that company. I'm not going to check myself out. They don't pay me to check myself. Anyway, that's a soapbox. I'm getting off of that. But my whole point is, used to, we engaged in conversation all the time. Now we don't. Our entire society is set up for isolation. You can actually go through a whole day and not ever say hello to one human being. We walk around with our ear pods in, earbuds. And those are good. I'm not being critical of any of the things that we have. We just need to understand they have a place and they don't have a place, okay? Now, instead of talking to somebody, we either email or we text. We've got some, especially some kids in our church and in this community, can text faster than we can talk. They're good at it because that's what they've grown up with. We spend hours before the computer. And folks, in all of that, we have really lost human contact. God wants us to be the exception. We, the church, and I'm talking about the church in general, but specifically today, the Center Point Free Will Baptist Church, we are in the people business. We have to be able to communicate to people and with people to show them how much we care. And it has taken a major toll on our churches. I told Kurt at the retreat, we had a devotion Saturday morning. Jared did a great job on that. And then Kurt spoke up afterwards and talked about the number of people that we have come into our church and that leave our church because we don't take the time to go greet them and meet them and find out that they are real human beings with real needs. They come here for a reason, and we need to be sensitive to that reason. We need to get out of our isolation, and we need to make sure that we understand that we are in the people business, that we are going to have to be hospitable, and we are going to have to maybe even get out of our comfort zone, and go up and shake somebody's hand and introduce ourselves and be a real human being and have human contact again. You know, we can win many a sinner to the Lord through hospitality. And I've shared this story with you before, but it is a classic example. My mom and dad knew some people. And when I say they knew them, they knew them basically because me and their kids went to school together. Me and my brother went to school with their kids. And mom and dad knew who they were. And for some reason, mom and dad chose that family and said, we are going to befriend them. And we're going to become friends with them. And we're going to do our best to get them into church. Well, mom and dad invited them over. They played cards with them. Pitch is what they used to play. I don't know if that game's even around anymore. And guess what? Within a few months of having those folks over, they got them in the church. And I saw all three of their kids saved through hospitality. Now, if mom and dad had said, well, we're going to win them to the Lord, went over and knocked on their door and said, sit down, we're going to tell you how to be saved, probably would have never won them. But through human contact, through being hospitable, that family was won to the Lord. Yeah. Let's stop and think about this for a second. We put a lot of emphasis on missions, and we definitely need to put a lot of emphasis on missions. I'm not belittling missions. But not every one of us can be a missionary. Not every one of us can go to a foreign land and spend the time that it takes to minister there. Not every one of us can go to downtown Little Rock and be part of a soup kitchen. Folks, every single one of us can be hospitable. Every single one of us. If you have a place you call home, and if you have a kitchen table, and if you have chairs around that table, and if you have bread enough and meat enough to make sandwiches, guess what? Congratulations, you are now in the ministry of hospitality. You qualify to be in the ministry of hospitality. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. All it takes is opening up our home and opening up our hearts. But again, in a world of isolation, it's very, very difficult for us to have that human contact. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, to be given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. And we use that term, and what it literally means is to love a stranger. To love a stranger. To be nice to people. To do good things for them. To be human and to reach out and make a human contact with them. Can you imagine what it would have been like back when Jesus was on earth and somebody like Mary or Martha and Lazarus invited Jesus into their home? And there's many others, you know, Zacchaeus, a lot of people invited Jesus into their home. Can you imagine what it would be like to have Jesus sitting at your table, eating your meat, and you being able to fellowship with Him one on one? That would be something, wouldn't it? Well, guess what? You can still do that. Matthew 25, verse 40. Yes, I did trick you into that one, but it was a good trick. Matthew 25, verse 40. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." When we welcome people into our homes, and we tell them, "I care enough about you that I want you to come over and to share a meal with me," you just invited Jesus into your home. That's an amazing thing. Jesus Himself said that that's exactly what we were doing. And folks, to me, that is a wow moment. If we can really understand, we're not just inviting somebody. But when we invite them, we're literally inviting Jesus Himself. And you know, there's something special that happens around the dinner table. Several things special happen around the dinner table. When you invite somebody to your home, you're telling them, "You matter to me." You're not going to invite somebody to your house that doesn't matter. By you giving them that invitation, you're saying, "You matter to me. I care about you." And around the dinner table is where you really get to know people. I'm going to touch on this more here in a few moments. But folks, we have people in this church that have been here for 6 months, and you don't know them. You know that's one of my pet peeves. We've talked about that before. But we're going to talk about it again. And the ministry of hospitality can correct that. We need to know each other. And around the dinner table, you really get to know people. Even shy people will open up and talk around the dinner table. Here at church, we don't have that opportunity. I mean, going down the aisle on the way out, you might talk to a person or two. But you really don't get into a deep conversation about anything, do you? You really don't get to know them like you want to know them or need to know them. But when you sit down around the dinner table, you get to know them. And again, at the men's retreat this weekend, that happened. And when we got there, some of the men did not know Odell. But guess what? After 2 days with Odell, they know a whole lot about that man now. Because they sat down and ate with him and conversed with him. And really got to know Him. And folks, that's what we need to do. Hospitality opens the door to uncommon community. Stop and think about it. Back in the New Testament days, they broke bread daily with one another. No wonder they knew each other so well, and no wonder they accomplished as much as they did. Now, this is extremely simple. I mean, hospitality is, to me, the simplest ministry that there is out there. And we need to keep it simple. The first thing is to give somebody a sincere invitation. Using Diane and I, if we went up to somebody, I'm going to say Bob and Mary. I don't think we have a couple here named Bob and Mary. If we went up to Bob and Mary and said, "Bob and Mary, we really want to get to know you folks. We'd like to have you come over and eat supper with us. Would Tuesday night or Thursday night work best for you? That's not complicated, is it? And guess what? They may tell you no. I've got some neighbors that have told me no 3 or 4 or 5, 6 times already. But guess what? I'm going to keep inviting. We're building a stronger relationship the more that I see them. And one of these days, they're going to say yes. They're finally going to get to the point they feel comfortable enough to come over because they know I'm a preacher and they think I'm going to sit them down at the dinner table and they think I'm going to preach to them. I just want to get to know them better. But no isn't personal and no isn't forever. You know, don't take it personally. If somebody says, no, we can't come or we would really rather not come or whatever, don't take it personally. Just let it be no and invite somebody else. But make sure when you do invite them that they know it is a sincere invitation. And even tell them, you know, we want to get to know you better. Would you please come over? Does Tuesday night or Thursday night work best for you? Then you want to make the environment welcoming. And you don't want to invite them into a disaster area. And it's not a big deal to make the environment welcoming. Before they get there, turn the TV off. Folks, nothing says we don't care about you more than the TV going. And you can't have a good conversation with somebody with the TV blaring. And if you've got friends that you're really good friends with that come over and you're watching a show and talking, that's one thing. But somebody that you have said, come over, we want to get to know you better, and they're being distracted and you're being distracted by the TV, don't do that. Don't have the TV on, don't have the music on, and I'm going to take a big step here. Don't even have the animals around. I know you love Fido. We might all love Fido, but not everybody loves your pets as much as you love your pets. And when I go to somebody's house, it doesn't bother me for their animals to climb up on my lap. I'll just sit there and pet them and all that. But some people don't like animals. Some people have allergic reactions to animals. So, again, be very considerate and respectful to them. And when they get there, invite them in. Tell them, we want you to make yourself right at home. And they, most of the time, they will definitely do that. And it does not have to be elaborate. The Bible says a cup of water given in the name of Jesus will not lose its reward. You know, you may be thinking, my house is so small. But they're sitting there thinking, now these people have a big heart. You might be thinking, this meal is so simple. And they're thinking, what a feast. You know, some of the best times that I've ever had with some of you folks here at Centerport and people other places is over beans and cornbread. I would rather sit down and talk to somebody over beans and cornbread and they really want me to be there than going to a fancy feast and not feel welcome. Here in Arkansas, beans and cornbread, I mean, it doesn't get any more basic than that, and it says, you're welcome to our simple abode. And we are so glad that you're here. It's all about just opening up your home and opening up your heart. Now, I want to share a story with you. Before I share the story, let me do something else. Let me do this right here. Don't just invite people you already know or somebody you think, well, if I invite them, they'll invite us back. Jesus gave a very strong warning over in Luke. He said, in Luke 14, he said, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again a recompense, and recompense be made unto thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the lame, the maimed and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. So don't just invite people you know. Don't just invite people on your social status. Invite those that need God. And guess who that is? That's everybody. I want to share a story with you. When I read this story, it made such a major impact on me, and I want you to listen to this story closely. I was reading a book the other day, and this gentleman, who I'm going to call Bob, was revealing this story. And he was in his own hometown, and it's a larger city, and he pulled up to a busy intersection, and he said, just as I got there, this homeless guy over in the median started waving and hollering at me. He said, Bob! Bob! And he said, I was looking around, and sure enough, he stepped off the curb and started walking toward me. He said he had that cardboard sign under his arm and a dirty backpack stuffed full of apparently clothes or something. And said his clothes were dirty and raggedy, and his beard was all scrunchy and everything. And said, the most shocking thing of all was he was calling me by name. How could he know who I am? And, you know, apparently there was no social or any other kind of connection there. And the guy walked up to Bob's car, and Bob wrote it down his window, and this guy said, Bob, do you remember me? I said, I'm sorry, I really don't know who you are. He said, well, Bob, a year ago at this very intersection, I was standing here, and you took me and bought me a burger. Think about that, guys. To Bob, he had already forgotten the man's faith. He had already forgotten the meal. But to that man, it was a big deal that a year later, he remembered Bob's face and Bob's name. It wasn't a burger. It was a life-changing experience for that man. Well, Bob went on to say that, you know, the light turned green. Turned green and everybody started honking at him. And as he was driving away, that man was standing in the road hollering, Bob, thanks so much for the burger. Guys, I don't know how that impacts you, but that impacts me. A little bitty burger made such a big effect in that guy's life. We can have a huge impact on people. Let me give you a side benefit to this. The Bible tells us that some of us have entertained angels unaware. What a bonus that is. We have entertained angels unaware. Or we've skipped the opportunity to entertain angels. Here's the challenge I want to lay out before you today. Let's start being more hospitable. Let's start with our Center Point family. Like I said earlier, there are people in this church that you don't know very well. We need to get to know each other very well. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to know each other deeply and intimately and personally. So let's start here where it's safe waters. And if we have a new family that comes and visits at Center Point, there'd be nothing wrong with you telling them, hey, we're so glad you came today. We would like to take you out to eat. We would like to invite you over to our house. We want to get to know you better. And that goes right back to what Kurt was saying on this retreat. We've let a lot of people slip through our fingers here at Center Point just because we haven't really taken the time and the effort to show them that we care. And then we can expand that on out to our neighbors. We have neighbors. All of us have neighbors that we really don't know. And when I was growing up, we knew everybody in a 3-mile radius. And the reason we knew everybody in a 3-mile radius was we were either at their house or they was at our house. We were always fellowshipping and doing something together. Folks, we don't do that anymore. We need to get back to having human contact with one another and being hospitable. We need to make sure that we make an effort to reconnect with people and let God work through us. We need to be given to hospitality. And yes, it is going to be an inconvenience. You are going to invite somebody into your home, and yes, they may be invading your territory. But if you open up your heart, they're not invading at all. They've been invited. I'm going to share a story, and Diana will get on to me later for this one. But when we were working Herbalife full-time, we had worked hard, and we had reached a certain level in the business, and we achieved some things. And the owner of the business invited us and some other folks to his $27 million mansion on the Malibu Beach. I was so excited. I couldn't wait to get there. Well, we got there, and I felt like I was dragging Diana. She just didn't want to go looking around or visit or anything. And she finally said, "I'm going to go over here in the corner and sit down." I said, "You sick?" She said, "No, I'm not sick." I said, "Well, I'll be back in a little while." And I came back, and she was just kind of curled up in the corner over there and not looking at anybody, not doing anything. I said, "What is wrong?" She said, "I feel like I'm intruding." I said, "Intruding? We got the invitation in the mail." Folks, we are not causing people to intrude. We are opening up our hearts and our homes to them. And when they come there, I know you well enough, you know, you're going to make them feel welcome. Don't look at it as somebody's intruding in upon us. Look at it as an opportunity to minister to them. Again, all it takes is a table, chairs, bread enough, and meat enough for a bologna sandwich or brown beans and cornbread, and an open heart. All of us can do that. And I think when we start doing that in a greater degree, we're going to see that we will retain more people here at Centerpoint, and that we will, in ourselves, become even closer than we already are. And like I said, something special happens around the dinner table. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, I come before you and I thank you so much that you've given us a ministry of hospitality. And Father, you've told us that through the ministry of hospitality, that we really have the ministry of reconciliation. It's just simply opening up our hearts and letting you work in and through us to reach out and to touch and connect with others. And God, I realize that in the society that we live in today, it's so easy to go through a whole day and never even speak to another human being. But God, help us here at Centerpoint to realize that we are in the people business. And to see souls saved and to see our church grow the way that you want it to and the way that we want it to, we're going to have to open up our hearts and welcome the other folks in and work the ministry of hospitality. I just pray, Father, that you would lay names of people upon our hearts right now that you want us to invite even this very week over to our house so that we can get to know them better. And I thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.